chapter 12. We want you to stand. 84 in the Cambridge Bible, page 83 in the Scofield Bible. And everyone try to get someplace where you can see the Word of God. This is the Word of God we're reading from today. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and take it on the two sides on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire its head with its legs and with the purtent thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall... And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses wherein you are. When you see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And verse 13 is our text verse, and I'll read that one more time. And the Lord said, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you now for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that, dear God, please, that you would bless. And Lord, I'm so glad I live in America where we can stand and still proclaim and preach from the word of God. Now, dear God, please, I pray now for everyone to sit up and pay attention. Lord, this could be the most important message anyone could hear today. And Lord, we're so glad that, Lord, you did give us the blood. Father, please bless now the reading of your word. Holy Spirit of God, please now speak to hearts through the preaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, I want everybody to sit up straight. I want the young people to put your hands in your laps. I want you to look this way. I want you teenagers not to talk. I want you to listen. All you adults, listen. You old codgers, stay awake. And all the men, say amen at the same time. Ready? Say it. Okay, say it again. All right. If I say something good, you holler at me, amen. All right? I want to talk to you this morning about it. Still the blood that cleanses all sin. I want you to listen carefully. And your destiny, your eternity may be at stake this morning. So I want you to listen. Those of you in the fellowship hall watching on television, those of you on the closed television sets, you listen. Don't change the channel. And those of you here in this auditorium, please listen. The balcony, I don't want any talking. I want you to listen. Everybody listen, because this could make a difference of eternity, heaven and hell in your life. Now, Father, help me now. I don't believe anybody wants to go to hell. I don't believe anybody wants to go to a place prepared for the devil, prepared for the devil's angels. I don't believe that. I believe these are sincere people here this morning. And I pray that the truth that's preached, they'll listen carefully. And we'll be able to this morning, folks will say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. God help us now, please. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Look this way and listen carefully. You say, preacher, I don't think anybody can know they're going to heaven. Yes, they can. If you know your name, you can know you're going to heaven. If you know where you live, you can know you're going to heaven. Now I want you to listen carefully. Adam and Eve had sinned. When they sinned, they realized that they were naked, and they made for themselves aprons of fig leaves, you remember, with which to cover their nakedness. But that will not cover man's nakedness before God. It takes a lot more than that for the sins and nakedness of man to be covered. So God killed animals, and God made from the skin of those animals whose blood had been shed and offered them coats of skin to Adam and Eve. Listen carefully. Adam and Eve had to take those coats of skin from God. And this covering was not from something they had made. They did not take a bloodless offering. But they were covered with something that had shed its blood. So it was the blood. It was the blood. And it's still the blood. Cain and Abel came on the Sabbath day to be with God. And the Bible says they came at the end of days to be with God. And Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, a bloodless offering. Listen carefully. An offering of plants, of fruits and vegetables. And Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock a blood offering, a blood sacrifice. God had respect unto Abel and his offering. Please listen now. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Yes, it is still the blood. Over 2,000 years later now, Abraham took his son Isaac, you remember, to Mount Moriah, and after a journey of 3 days and three nights, and there Abraham was to offer his son Isaac as an offering, as God had charged him to do, and Abraham was lifting his knife to fulfill this offering of his son Isaac, when God said, "Hold it, Abraham, hold it." The Bible says there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and God gave Abraham instructions to go take that ram and offer that ram and as a sacrifice and to shed his blood in the place of Isaac on that altar. And just like Jesus' blood was shed in my place and in your place, yes, 2,000 years after Cain and Abel, 2,000 years after Adam and Eve, it's still the blood. It's still the blood. Please listen. 400 years later, the Jews are in bondage in Egypt. God says to Moses, "Now I'm going to deliver my people if they'll do one thing." God told Moses and to listen carefully. God told Moses to tell God's people, God's man said, "You tell them that each family must take a lamb. And that lamb must be a male lamb. And that male lamb must be without blemish. And that male lamb must be a token, must be taken as a token on the first day and the tenth day of that month. But that male lamb without blemish had to pass inspection to prove its perfection from blemish until the 14th day. And on the 14th day of the month, God said to Moses, "I want you to tell the people to kill that lamb and take its blood. Take the lamb's blood. And then I want you to sprinkle it on the lintels and on the doorpost of each house. Then the death angel will pass over during the night, and the death angel's going to take the firstborn of everybody's house where the blood is not applied." It didn't say everybody's house that didn't belong to a church. It didn't say everybody's house that did not get baptized. Did not say everybody's house that lived a good life. Did not say everybody's house that doesn't take communion. It said everybody's house where the blood is not applied. And those who had the blood applied, when the death angel passed over, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." Hold it. Somebody may have been a better person who didn't have the blood applied than someone who had the blood applied, but it wasn't being a good person that made the difference. It was the shed blood applied on the doorpost that made the difference. Don't look bored. Don't look bored. No time to yawn now, because I'm telling you right now, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the difference is not going to be whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic. It's going to be where that blood is applied to your sin. It was not the blood shed in the backyard that was the blood that was shed in the back that was applied to the front that made the difference. It wasn't just the shedding of the blood, it was the applying of the blood. It's not just the shedding of the blood, but the applying of the shed blood that causes a person to be saved. If it was just the shedding of the blood, then all Jesus had to do to die and everybody would go to heaven. But God's not going to force anybody to do anything that they do not want to do. I got saved because I wanted to, and I got saved because I wanted that blood applied to my sin. So 2,000 years after Cain and Abel, 2,000 years after Adam and Eve, it's still the blood for Abraham and Isaac, and it's still the blood that cleanses all sin today. And 400 years after Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, Abraham and Isaac, you enter Moses and the death angel, it's still the blood that cleanses from all sin. Not long afterwards, God told Moses to build the tabernacle. He told Moses to have just inside the ends of that tabernacle the first piece of furniture, a brazen altar. Each morning a sacrifice would be offered at that altar called the morning sacrifice. That sacrifice would be an animal. That animal would have its blood shed. And every morning that sacrifice was offered. Ladies and gentlemen, please, for it's still the blood that cleanses all sin. I don't care what the liberals say. It is still the blood shed and applied that pays for all sin. God spoke to Moses about something else. God spoke to him about the Day of Atonement. Now on that day a sacrifice was made, and the blood of that innocent sacrifice by the high priest was taken inside of the Holy of Holies. And the high priest alone could take the blood inside the Holy of Holies one time a year. All of this on the Day of Atonement. He came out after sprinkling that blood on the mercy seat. Guess what he shouted? Guess what he shouted? He walked out and shouted as loud as he could, "It is finished!" Guess what Jesus cried on Calvary? He cried, "It is finished." What did he mean? That blood that had been shed now was applied. It wasn't just the applying, or the shedding. It was the applying of the blood. And that blood was applied on that mercy seat. And let us know that from that you and I can know for sure that we're going to heaven. All we have to do is have that blood applied that Jesus shed. Hold it. Not baptism. Not joining a church. Not taking communion, it's the shed blood applied to your soul. It was not the shed blood. It was not the shed blood on the altar, but the shed blood applied to the mercy seat. And praise God, that very shed blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago is on that mercy seat in heaven right now. And I promise everybody that trusts Christ according to the Bible, that blood will speak your name. It'll speak your name. It'll speak your name. It'll speak your name if you trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to your sin. 2,400 years after the blood was first applied, it's still the blood that cleanses from all sin. And God gave instruction to dedicate the priest. Remember that instruction? That instruction included a little ritual of the blood of an innocent sacrifice, and that was sprinkled, Brother Bowen, on the lobe of the right ear, not the left ear, but the right ear. And then it was sprinkled on the thumb of the right hand, not the left hand, but the right hand. Then it was sprinkled on the big toe of the right foot of the priest. Why? It is with your ear that you hear the gospel. It is with your hand you receive the gospel. And it's with your feet you carry the gospel. So you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, now you're supposed to carry the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the sin that is paid for by the shedding and applying of that blood. The lobe of the right ear was sprinkled with the blood. The thumb of the right hand was sprinkled with the blood. The big toe of the right foot was sprinkled with the blood. It's still the blood, ladies and gentlemen. God then gave instruction concerning the sacrifice. Listen carefully. Several sacrifices were acceptable. For example, the lamb was acceptable. A goat was acceptable. The turtle dove was acceptable. The pigeon was acceptable. Why? Because anybody that could not afford a lamb could get a goat. Anybody that couldn't afford a goat could get a turtle dove. Anybody that couldn't afford a turtle dove could get a pigeon. I got plenty of them in my backyard. Come over and get you one. And so anybody, a poor person then, could take this sacrifice and take that shedding of that blood and the applying of it and find that it was a symbol of Jesus coming one day. It's still the blood. You could smother that sacrifice, but that wouldn't be acceptable. You could drown that sacrifice, but that wouldn't be acceptable. These are those who say the blood, those that is not necessary, are wrong. The Bible says it is necessary, and God requires it. Write this verse down, Isaiah 53:7. Says Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. There were bloodless sacrifices for sure, but listen carefully. There was the drink offering, the meal offering, and the vegetable offering. I'd like to give some vegetables to that offering.
But even those bloodless offerings were to be accompanied by the blood, by a lamb that had shed its blood. You could not have the drink offering without the shedding of blood. You could not have the meal offering without the shedding of the blood. You could not have the vegetable offering without the shedding of blood. Yes, they're all offerings. The sin offering, the burnt offering, the trespass offering. Every single offering in the Bible that God Almighty said do was not a bloodless offering, because the blood offering had to accompany the very offering that God gave. Why? Because God wants us to know it's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. It's not confession in a confessional booth. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not joining somebody's church. It's not getting baptized at Camelite Church. It's still the blood. Hey, listen to this. When a leper was cleansed in the Bible, that leper went through a ritual. That this was the ritual. Two birds were chosen alive and clean. One of those birds was killed in an earthen vessel. The other bird was then dipped in the blood of the first bird's blood. Then that bird was let loose. A picture of Jesus, the dead bird, dying in the earthen vessel and his physical body. And then a picture of Jesus being resurrected by the live second bird that flew away with the blood of the sacrificial bird. Even the cleansing of the leper, it's still the blood. It's still the blood. Now everybody said what? Amen. All right. Each of the feasts, the various blood offerings were made. The Feast of Pentecost, blood offerings were made with it. Feast of Tabernacle, blood offerings were made with it. Feast of the Trumpets, blood offerings were made with it. Feast of the Passover, blood offerings were made with it. Now listen to me. A bloodless religion is not the religion of Jesus Christ. A bloodless Bible is not God's Bible. A bloodless message is not God's message. A bloodless salvation is not God's message. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is still the blood that cleanses it. You say this morning, I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. You can't do it without the blood being applied. You can't do it. It has to be applied. Isaiah pointed to Calvary in chapter 53 and verse 7, and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus didn't come to show us how to live. He came to shed his blood. He came to dip his blood, his soul, into hell. He came to rise again and to take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And when you receive Christ, that blood is sprinkled on your soul, and your soul is cleansed by the very blood of Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. It's time for John the Baptist to introduce Jesus on the banks of Jordan. John's going to introduce him in John chapter 1 and verse 29. And again in John chapter 1 and verse 36. What will he say? Will he say, "Behold the King of Kings"? No. What will he say? Will he say, "Behold the Lord of Lords"? No. What will he say? "Behold the Messiah"? No. What will he say? "Behold the King of the Jews"? No. What will he say? "Behold the Promised One"? No. John the Baptist stands on the banks of Jordan and speaks aloud and speaks of eternity. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's still the blood. And after 4,000 years, it's still the blood. That trail of blood started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and all the way to the banks of the Jordan River. It's still the blood. John 19:34, write that down. Jesus was crucified to be sure that he was dead. They took a spear and cast that spear into his side. John 19:34 says something came forth from his side, from his body. It was blood and water. Blood and water coming from the body meant that the heart had ruptured. Hey, it was God, the Father's blood, that came out of that of His Son's very body. No, not a human Father's blood, but it was the Heavenly Father's blood. Perfect blood that was spilt on Calvary, sprinkled on the mercy seat. Perfect blood that was put on my soul that caused me to clean this morning and born again of the Spirit of God. It's still the blood. Then Paul picks up his pen to write this down. Romans 5:9. Being justified by His blood, which means we are declared righteous by His blood, which means we are declared as if we never sinned by His blood. My record is clean in heaven by His blood. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's still the blood. Write this down. Hebrews 9:12. The apostle says, by his own blood he hath entered into the holy place. How about this one? Ephesians 2:13 says, we are made nigh through the blood of Christ. How about Colossians 1:20? Says, we have peace through the blood of Christ. How about Hebrews 9:32? Says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's why we are told to use the fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper. Why? There, the fruit of the vine, not fermented, not something that shows fermentation or sin. It's perfect blood. At this moment, that blood is in heaven cleansing my sin. You see, that blood is in my soul, keeping my soul clean. You say, how can you get saved? Stay saved. I don't have to stay saved. I just got to keep... Jesus is alive. His blood is alive. His DNA is in me. I'm God's child. You see, Jesus died as my lamb, and that blood was sprinkled not only in that mercy seat, but sprinkled in my soul. In 1957, I got on my knees. I said, I don't want to go to hell. I asked Jesus to save me. Jesus sprinkled that blood on my soul. My soul is perfect. My body is not. I'm going to do wrong, but I'll pay for it in this life. But thank God, He's my Father. Jesus is my elder brother. Why? Because of the shed blood that was applied. He died as my lamb, rose again as my high priest. That means that He was the lamb slain on the altar, that He arose and became my high priest. He took His blood to heaven, to the mercy seat. Now, before He did that, He appeared to Mary Magdalene, remember? Where He told her, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. When she started to reach out to Him. And Jesus said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Wait a minute. That's because as the high priest could not be touched until that blood was applied to the mercy. Could not be touched. Why? Jesus said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm the high priest. I'm your high priest. I've got to take my own blood as the lamb and take it to heaven and sprinkle it on that mercy. Don't touch me. Don't touch me, because this has got to be a pure salvation. Not based on you, Mary, but based on me. I'm not saved because of me. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ and what He did. Please listen to me. There is a hell, and people that turn their back on the shed blood of Christ will have to spend eternity in hell. Not if you turn your back on the Baptist church or Methodist or Catholic. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's the one that cleanses from all sin. And so we find that He said that after He had gone up and He came back, He said to Thomas, you know what He said? Reach hither and feel the scars in my hands and my side. Hey, today the very shed blood of Jesus shed on Calvary in the presence of my Heavenly Father, that same blood is alive. It didn't dissipate. It's still alive. Didn't just kind of evaporate at the foot of Calvary. It's alive, sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkled in my soul. How many of you have asked Jesus Christ to save you? Let's see your hand. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know why you can just confidently do that? I'll tell you why. Because that blood is sprinkled in here. It's nothing that you've done. You're pretty rotten, really. We're all pretty rotten, really. For all have sinned. Say that with me. For all have sinned. Say it again. For all have sinned. Say it again. For all have sinned. I don't care if you're a preacher or a deacon. Doesn't matter. In fact, deacons are pretty good sinners. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're all sinners. Well, what in the world are we going to do if we're going to miss hell? What are we going to do? We're going to have to realize it's still the blood. When it started in the book of Genesis, it was the blood. When it went to Exodus, it was the blood. When it went to Leviticus, it was the blood. Throughout all the Old Testament, somebody look at me and listen to me now. It was the blood. It came to Calvary. It was the blood. All of those animal sacrifices pictured one day that Jesus Christ was going to come, born of a virgin. Joseph was not his father. His heavenly Father, through the Holy Ghost of God, caused that seed to be placed into Mary's womb. And Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, God's Son. He had a virgin birth. He had a virgin life. He had a virgin death. He had a virgin burial. He had a virgin resurrection. And you and I can come to that purity of that blood that's been shed by Jesus at Calvary, sprinkled on the mercy seat as the Lamb of God, carried there as the high priest Himself. And you at any moment could say, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And all you have to do is open your heart and say, Jesus, sprinkle that blood on my soul, and your soul will be clean. I was in a conference one time, a guy walks up. He said, well, what if you murder somebody? You still saved? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, you know who I'm talking about? I said, yeah, his name's Moses. Moses murdered a man. Still God's child. You say, how can that be? His soul got saved, not his body. You never hear a preacher get up and say, we had five bodies saved today. No, it's always souls that get saved. We're in the soul-saving business. And that means this morning that your soul can be spared from going to hell, from burning in hell forever, if you realize it's still, somebody help me this morning, it's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Here we are in the year 2005. Thank God it's not. Boy, you're talking about churches. 350,000 different churches in America. How in the world are you going to choose the right one? How in the world? What am I going to do? If I've got to choose a church to get me to heaven, I'm in trouble. There's 350 to 400,000 of them, they tell me. Boy, you got troubles. You ain't got enough lifetime to visit them all. But I tell you what God said. God said, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my word. I only have one son. I only have one son. And that one son died on Calvary to keep you from going to hell. And he shed his blood. Everybody, the entire world, 6.3 billion people can all turn and look to Calvary at the same time if they want to and open their heart and let him apply that blood to their soul and they can be clean on the inside. Hey, one guy said to me, yeah, I know somebody committed adultery. You mean that guy's going to heaven? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, you know him? I said, yeah, his name's David. He wrote the Psalms. His name's David. You tell me David went to hell? God didn't say he did. You tell me Moses went to hell? God didn't tell me he did. See, what you're doing is you're working your way to heaven. You're working on the outside. God works work on the inside. Do you know, how many of you know of Christians that died? You know a Christian that died? Okay. Then why do we call them Christians? The wages of sin is what? Talk to me. The wages of sin is what? Talk to me. The wages of sin is what? Death. Okay, if the wages of sin is death and their sins are paid for, why did they die? Why did they die? They died because God did not pay for what you're going to do in your stupid flesh. God paid for those sins that got into your soul that would cause you to be condemned to hell forever. But thank God at age 11, Brother Bowen, I got on my knees in my bedroom and I said, I don't want to go to hell. I opened my heart. Jesus sprinkled that blood on my soul and He saved my soul. He didn't save my body. I got contacts in my eyes and this morning they've been rolling up and down, up and down. And I put a new pair in this morning. I think I put the wrong one in the wrong eye. But I have to wear glasses. I have to wear contacts. And I got one that goes far, and I got one that goes near. And if you put them in the wrong one, your brain says, something wrong up here. Shut up. Don't you say nothing. And so, my body, I had both little pinky toes, little pinky toes on both sides. I had to have surgery on both little pinky toes. Now, I wore sandals for a while. Well, so did Jesus. But pinky toes. I've got this shoulder over here. See this shoulder over here? Can you hear it? I think I had surgery in it. Can you hear it? I had 12 bone spurs in that shoulder. I had to have shoulder surgery. See this gray hair? I have to dye it to make it gray. It's normally pitch black. What's that? You know these wrinkles? I look in the mirror and I say, who is that guy? I don't know him. What happened to him? But getting wrinkles and I'm getting, and then the sand begins to shift in the body. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Landers. You know what I'm talking about? never mind. I was going to say something smart, but I'm not going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, what happened to the body's getting older? You're getting older and you're going to die. And I'm going to die and you're going to die. We're all going to die. But wait a minute now. What part of me is saved then? Wake up and get this, orchestra. What part of me is saved? My soul. Not my body. My soul is saved. Brother Duckett, our dear music director, died in his office over here, dropped over the heart attack. He was in heaven before that body hit the floor. Well, now, if God had saved his body would have gone with him. No, no, no. This morning, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging with you. Those tucked away in a corner up here and those watching on closed circuit television, I'm begging with you this morning. I'm begging you this morning. Please, whatever you do, open your heart. Please don't. Please look at me. Please look at me. I'm begging you this morning. Please trust the Savior. Please get saved, because one of these days, you're going to die and you spend eternity in hell and you wake up in hell and you're going to say, what in the world have I done? Please trust the Savior. I don't need another church member. I got 5,000 I can't find now. The IRS is looking for them. I want you to know that you're going to heaven when you die. That's the important thing. How am I going to do that? It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Still the blood. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed.